Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, we see your godly goodness in the world, and we see the opposite of this. We ask you to guide and direct our path. Just like it says in Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. And so we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Genesis chapter 1 tells us that God's creation is good. Romans chapter 5 says in part that sin entered the world through mankind's sin nature. And all throughout history, we see plots and bad behavior in this same way. Today we see it in the news. We see cruelty and terrible abuse. And why? Because God gave man and angels too free will to do good or to do not good. We each can choose to think and to do good according to God, or we can choose to think and to do that which is not good according to God. We get eternal consequences for our thoughts and actions unless we choose and ask for forgiveness from Jesus Christ, and we change from our past ungodly ways and are born again, as described in the Gospel of John chapter 3. And then we get to demonstrate our belief, our faith in how we live our life. We all know that there is good and evil in the world, and that God is good, and that which is not of God is not good. So simple. It is one way or another that we see and relate to the world, and we believe what God says, or we believe whatever we want to believe. So who do you think will win that argument, you or God? We know that the all-knowing God will be correct in all things. And our world has always had good and evil in it. And you can look at examples in the history book or the history book called the Bible. You can look at Ezekiel 8:9, right around there. And you can recognize the description of what God does not approve of, where right in the open there were women weeping on behalf of a false god, and where in the hidden chambers there was incense being offered to a false god in a secret ceremony. Oh, yes, there are all sorts of goings on in the world. There is violence in the land, and all things go on. As a matter of history, that which happened in ancient Israel, where God sent warnings to ancient Israel, you could say that God has sent warnings to America today. In ancient Israel did not heed those warnings, and God allowed the destruction of ancient Israel. And for America, we will have to see what we see, but we do have evidence in the Bible of what happens and how God does judge. That, going back to that Ezekiel chapter 8, verse 9, it does talk later on about the four sword judgments of God. That's in Ezekiel chapter 14. The four sword judgments of God, it's also in chapter 33, but those judgments are the sword and famine, noisome beast, and pestilence. So those are old-fashioned words, and the new way of saying that is war, starvation, a harmful or disgusting beast or bacteria, and an infectious disease. That's the modern way to say it. And those are the four sore judgments of God. Now, some people cannot think that those things would happen to us, the modern nations of today. But if God says one of these or all of these will happen, they certainly will happen. And study it for yourself and see what can happen and why we want to be good and holy and not have the judgments like that of God. So I think there's some really strong parallels between ancient Israel and modern America. There's another person who says that's the American author and messianic rabbi Jonathan Cahn. He has very plainly and strongly observed these parallels between ancient Israel and America. And he warned about this in his book, this 2012 book called The Harbinger. He's written other books as well, and often enough they are related to that theme. Well, the point is that we in the United States of America, we may have consequences for our actions. And that would have nothing to do with the Great Tribulation. It's just a matter of consequences. Well, there's so many Americans who feel like we are going to be rescued from the judgment that could very well be coming upon America. It's a matter of debate. There's lots of people with lots of opinions, and I think it's pretty important to remember that there are consequences for our sinful actions and behaviors, and that's an area that God can deal with, but we can just look at things and study what just might happen based on history. Well, from what I read in the Bible, we don't really have an option. There will be consequences for our behavior and our sins. And there are plenty of examples of those consequences in the Bible. I think that there's plenty of people today who see judgment as being very harsh, but it certainly is uniform the way things have happened in history. And the consequences might be harsh, so harsh that people think it's the Great Tribulation. But no, I don't think so. There's other parts in the Bible that are pretty harsh too. And of course, Revelation chapter 17 and 18, that sounds like there's some pretty harsh consequences too. And we just get to figure out, as best we can understand, what the time frame is. And there's plenty of question about what the time frame is. And if there are books like the book of Revelation, is that in chronological order or is it not? It's not like there's a real answer here, because there are books of the Bible that are not in chronological order. A lot of people look at Daniel. That's not, and Esther's not, and maybe, well, there's other books too. So we'll just have to wait and see if the book of Revelation is in a chronological order or not. Sometimes our long-held views are challenged, and sometimes they're just accepted, and we don't challenge them. And I think that the rapture is an example of that, because everybody seems to have a strong opinion about whether there is going to be a rapture that takes us away from, well, the wrath of God, but I think the wrath of God is different from the consequences that we get as people who make choices and as a nation that makes choices. Well, a lot of strong opinions, not to mention the question of if it's a pre-trib, a mid-trib, or a post-trib rapture. Well, God knows, and we do not, but we sure do argue about such things, don't we? Well, whatever it is, I certainly say get prepared for whatever it is that's coming. And sure, look at it and see if you can figure it out. It's a lot of people do. And a lot of people also get scared about the end times. And if it does scare you, then refocus and look at God and realize that this life is short and eternity is long. Well, eternity is forever. So keep your priorities in order and remember that eternity with Jesus is worth whatever happens here on earth, whatever difficult times that we have to put up with. Now, the Bible does tell us in a big picture way about what our future holds. It doesn't tell us about specific events very much. And we are sure that whatever is ordained for the future is going to happen. So it's better for us to try to understand what the Bible says and believe that instead of believing our own scenarios. It is interesting to look at what the future holds, and it is hard for us to see what the future holds. Now, just think back a few years or a few decades in your life. Pretty much, there have been surprises, and there have been problems that we just did not think would come upon us. But there they were. A few years go by, and surprises happen. We have a really hard time to see what the future is going to involve. But God doesn't. He knows the future. And so I think it's better to learn and try to understand God's point of view throughout all of this. Yes, of course. And we will get through all of it. We will get through all whatever happens, and we will have a wonderful future because we're believers, and we know where we are going to end up with Jesus. Now, for non-believers, it's not so wonderful. So, you know where you want to be, so live faithfully to Jesus Christ. And tell other people about the good news of the gospel. Yes, tell, when the opportunity comes up, tell people the good news. And that could be your most important assignment on earth. Right after loving God with all your heart and with all your mind and with all your soul. And yet here we are in the middle of everything. There's plenty of complications in life. There's lots to think about, lots that needs our attention. And yet we know that the most important thing is to think about God and think about our neighbors. And I think it's also good to think about preparedness and your well-being so that you can show your love to other people. Live and share the good news of the gospel. And let people know that you're good and kind because of Jesus Christ. That might be our main assignment, you know. In our world, there is so much around us that sometimes we get distracted. Sometimes just too easily. There's all sorts of good things, good tasting food, shiny little objects, or big things like cars. They all get our attention. And when we have those certain symbols of, well, wealth, I guess is the way to say it, it makes us appear to be better and smarter and richer than everyone else around us. And so our ego likes that. And that's a part of the pride of life. 1 John 2:16 talks about the pride of life. And how we may well desire the things of this world instead of desiring God. Well, let's remember to desire God and to spend time with God through Jesus Christ and with the Holy Spirit. We all understand how this can be a struggle and how we can have temptations. We can struggle with our thoughts and our actions. I think we all have struggles, and I think of 1 Peter 1:16, where God says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy," and that is a struggle too, because that is what we have to desire to do, struggle to be. We do struggle in this life every day. In this world, we struggle with money. We struggle with buying what we need or buying what we want. We struggle with power and prestige. And I have to think about that we have to be careful to spend our money wisely. And we all do that. It's a challenge. We all have to pay attention to that. I do it. I have to pay attention to it. You have to pay attention to it. And then there's the surprises that come up. The repairs, there's expenses, all sorts of things. We all struggle financially. And maybe it's even for the basics, like rent or your mortgage or food for your family. Life is a struggle. And medical bills is another one. I hear that a big medical bill is the number one cause of bankruptcy in our country. And we do hear stories. You've heard them. I've heard them. About how some pretty simple little thing can end up costing $200,000 after you get an emergency room visit and an operation. Last week, I heard about a man who had a heart problem. He was a younger man, about 30. But that heart problem ended up costing $1 million, just over $1 million. And he said how thankful he was that he was on Medi-Cal. And no, I'm glad that young man is alive. I just wonder, how are we going to be able to afford all these different things? A lot of people go bankrupt personally because of medical bills. And I cannot help but wonder if our state or if our nation will also be forced into bankruptcy because of all the bills that it gets. Oh, we are going to be some interesting times coming up. There are indicators that we have some pretty big trouble coming our way, and that is both spiritually and financially. Now, as for the money part, well, I've looked into that plenty in my life. It's a carryover from my younger days. And I have quoted big money fund managers in the past, and there's a lot of thought, both by them and other economic people these days, that there is trouble coming. It's going to be big, and it could be another round of sudden inflation or sudden deflation. Really, it's kind of a crossroads in this general time frame. And about inflation, I know my children think it's pretty quaint that I remember 25 cent per gallon gasoline in the Bay Area. And I remember 16 cents per gallon gasoline in New York City. That was 50 years ago, but I do remember it, and it is in our experience to have inflation, and we just accept it. But what happens if there is deflation? What happens if our money supply suddenly shrinks? That is one of the factors that happened in the Great Depression, which began in 1929. So there's a lot of things that we can learn from in history. I think of some of the events like the 1906 earthquake. I know that was way before me, but I've heard stories about it. I think about the World War I and World War II. And there are things that we can look at to try to understand what has happened and how we can avoid problems today. But we seem to make mistakes all over again. The same type of mistakes are repeated, and so history repeats itself with new people watching. I know our founding fathers were learned people. Sometimes I think of Thomas Jefferson, and I think of that he said this: if the American people ever allow private banks to control the issue of their money, first by inflation and then by deflation, the banks and their corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of their property until their children will wake up homeless on a continent that their fathers conquered. Well, are we seeing that kind of inflation and deflation? It has been going on pretty strongly since 1913, when the Federal Reserve was allowed by Congress to control the issuance of the United States money. And after that, we did have events. We had the Great Depression of the 1930s. And also since that time, we have massive inflation that have gone on. It's just massive. And as a result of that, we've had a shrinking middle class, and a middle class is very important to the stability of a country, especially the United States. That's the way it's been. And there are plenty of things that go into the examination of our money and our monetary system, and I have to wonder what would happen if we had followed our U.S. Constitution. That means Article 1, Section 10, and that states that our money shall only be silver and gold, or semi-precious metals. Now, if our money had been only silver and gold, we would have a much different concept of money. We wouldn't need to print $100 bills or 1,000, whatever it is. I guess they're not $1,000 bills, but there are a few in places that show off those bills, but they're not for circulation. Well, instead, nowadays, instead of being our money made of precious metal that has value, our dollars are made out of paper, and our coins are all made out of zinc. The pennies are made out of zinc. They have a copper coating, but they are zinc. And what happens when our money is debased like this? It's happened in history over and over again that when a country's money is debased, that money and that nation fails. That's the pattern. It's always been that way from ancient Rome to the 1700s revolutionary France to many countries of the last 100 years. The road to the collapse is all very similar, and a part of it is that the money loses its value. And what's going on in America? Could a collapse happen here? Well, it depends on who you listen to. Now, some people will tell you that we have already been in a slow-motion collapse, and that the American economy is still falling. There's so many people who ask, well, the United States economy crash? Well, the economic law says that it must crash for the things that we have done on debasing our money and having inflation. And there are signs that the economic people tell us are showing that a crash will come. But it's still a big question of when it will actually hit. When? In weeks, in months, in years, in decades? Well, it's been going on a little at a time for quite a few years. And one of the things that is talked about just in the last days and weeks is the inverted treasury bond yield. And that is where a 2-year treasury bond yields more interest than a 10-year treasury bond. That has been called a major indicator of a recession. And so many of the financial people are talking about this in the last weeks. But it doesn't necessarily get into the news or on television. But the economic people, the financial people, are well aware of it. It's a historical fact that when this happens, there is a recession coming anywhere from 2 months to 2 years after that time. And our current Federal Reserve Chairman, Jerome Powell, has recently said that the Federal Reserve, is navigating uncharted waters. In other words, it's all new to them and they don't know what to do. They keep doing things to keep the economy going, but they're not sure what to do. uncharted waters. Well, there's been plenty of people who see that trouble is coming. When is still a question, but there have been money fund managers who I have quoted before on this broadcast, and there's Jacob Rothschild, who I've also mentioned that he has sent a letter to his major investors. Oh, this was over a year ago, that his company is telling investors that the United States economy is unsustainable due to its huge national debt. And he warned them to take their assets out of the United States. So, has our president changed that, or is the course still about the same? That's the debate that is going on, and there's fundamentals that have not changed. So the warnings will still be valid, and there will still be exceptions, but we get to decide what we should do, what we should actually do as a way of protecting ourselves from an economy that is on the verge of having some pretty serious, I think, problems. But there's still a question of when. I don't know if it will be 2 months or 2 years. But there's some things we all want to do, and they have never changed. And that is to get out of debt and to have savings. That's the advice for good times or bad times. Get out of debt and have savings. And sometimes we're locked into a pattern, and it's pretty hard to get out of it. I do like to listen to Mike Ramsey's advice. I like Mike Ramsey a lot. He has some real good financial advice on how to get out of debt. So listen and then do something. Oh, but for whatever is coming, and we don't know what, we just know there's things that might happen. And I always say my basics is water, food, warmth, and community. Those are the basics. Have some of these on hand, because we are uncertain of the future. We just don't know quite what will happen. I know the Bible tells us what will happen, but it does not say when. We could have some pretty bad times coming yet. And so I say get prepared for the just in case. Oh, have some level of preparedness. And the Bible does talk about preparedness in several different ways, about having a supply of things on hand, or there's the men of Issachar in First Chronicles. It talks about being ready for battle, for spiritual battle, I see as a very important thing. And battles can be in other forms too, on the political arena or even mentally. We want to be prepared, and we don't know quite for what. I just think of those basics. Water, let's say a water filter, food, warmth, and community. There have been countries all over the world that have had collapses, and everything within that country is greatly affected. So would it happen here? Really, I'm not sure, but we know it has happened in many other countries. We look at Venezuela, and that's a story of a collapse. It was once a very prosperous nation, but now they cannot keep pets because they're eaten by the neighbors. There's other countries as well that have gone through big economic collapses. In the last 100 years, most countries have had some pretty big trouble and restructuring. Even the big countries like China and Russia and European countries. Africa and Central America, everywhere. Will it hit the United States too? It just might. So get a little prepared, because even a little preparation will be a big help if there is a serious decline or a Great Depression or something. They're all possible. And if you look back a few years, things happen. And I look back about a year ago, I was talking to a missionary couple, and I was startled to hear them say that people from another country were praying for America, and they were praying for America to have hard times. And why hard times? Because they said that would bring people back to God. And so they were praying that America would have hard times. Well, I'll tell you, that shocked me that I heard that. I was quite surprised. Didn't like it at first. Well, I still don't like it, but I understand it. Yeah. It was not what I wanted to hear. It was not what I expected to hear. But it was interesting. Well, for all the things that are going on, let us stay aware, because the world has a history and a financial history of problems coming around. Sometimes in a decade, there's many problems. I was looking over a newsletter by James Rickards, and he listed a few. It's in the 1970s, there was the Penn Central Railroad bankruptcy. There was an oil embargo. There was hyperinflation. I remember that hyperinflation, and talking about interest rates being at 20%. It was phenomenal. Yes, I do remember that in the 70s. And then the 80s, what happened? We had the Latin American debt crises. And at one point, in one day, there was a 22% stock market crash. That was in 1987. And there was a savings and loan crisis. And in the 1990s, there were crises also with the Mexican and the Asian financial markets. And in 1998, there was the Russian long-term capital crisis. Another one. And then there was the 2000s. They had several problems going on too. The dot-com crash. The mortgage market collapse. And the Lehman Brothers AIG financial panic. See, there have been all sorts of financial things in the past. We just kind of forget about them. But they could happen again. Well, and he talks about some other things. He talks about some good things and some bad things. Let's see, what's good about nowadays? The stocks are at all-time highs. Mortgage rates are low. Unemployment rate is low. The job situation is good. And the Brexit crisis is on hold. But he also talks about things that are brewing that could be turn out to be bad. Oh, let's see. The first thing was a political crash between Republican and Democrat, with the background of Spygate and the Mueller investigation, and that would make a question of a Trump impeachment. So there's political questions going on, and if you think about the Trump impeachment, it seems like you either see it or you don't, depending on which side you are on. But even if there is nothing that even gets close to an impeachment hearing, there's going to be some political turmoil because of how the sides are shaping up. Second item was the 2020 election is coming up. And with all the Democrats running, oh, there can be some surprising matchups and things that are said to make them more popular. So don't be surprised if there is a shuffling of issues and people just to stand out from the crowd. Someone will speak up. A third is Spygate, which is dangerous and unpredictable because of the number of high-level people that it implicates. It involves the uppermost levels of the United States intelligence and United States law enforcement. The United States Attorney General William Barr will have his hands full as the ex-heads of CIA, NI, FBI are rightfully investigated. That's the ex-CIA chief, John Brennan, the ex-director of National Intelligence, James Clapper, and the ex-director of the FBI, James Comey. These things could cause turmoil. Well, the report continues that we could see corruption extending to the highest level of our previous administration. You know, there was another thing I heard in the news, and I'm going to mention it here. That was the CEO of Overstock.com. He spoke on Fox Business News and on CNN very recently. He talked about how the forces behind our politicians were influencing the things that were going on right now. And he just touched on the mass shootings. I understood him to say that those shootings were orchestrated as a part of manipulating the American public. So it just a matter of here was an important man who had something important to say that really has it reaches into many areas. So look him up if you would like. His name is Patrick Byrne, B-Y-R-N-E. He was the CEO of Overstock.com. And pray that the truth is told. And pray that he's protected long enough to tell it, because his life is in danger now. Even though he's a millionaire, his money won't help him if he is a target, and he is a target. So, well, back to that report again. A big point that I saw in the report was there's a number of issues that could really turn into larger issues that could affect our life and our economics and our politics. At the top of the list was the U.S.-China trade war. And I've heard James Ricketts for a long time, and he has observed that trade wars often turn into shooting wars. Well, so that's a possibility too. Other issues are the NAFTA replacement and tariffs on European cars and Russian sanctions and Iran sanctions and a recession in Europe. Oh, and don't forget the debt crises in Turkey and Argentina and China. See, any of these could evolve into issues and reach into other areas. It might happen before the 2020 election, or it might just keep brewing until then. There's a lot of things to consider, and we are not quite sure what will come up next. The future holds all sorts of things for us. Just look around you today. And you can see there's some pretty big unknowns about what could go on with the leaders and nations all struggling for dominance, in many cases as a dictatorial dominance of, yes, of their country, but even further, of the world. You know, China and the United States, we have a trade war, and it's, what I see is that it's an extension of the desire to dominate. Yeah, dominate the world. U.S. has its own brand of domination, and China has its own brand of domination. Very different, but there is still a matter of who gets to dominate over the earth. It's certainly a question. There's a lot of unknowns in it, but it is a reality. China is stealing so much technology from the United States and from other nations as well. I'm going to look at this James Rickards and quote him here. He said, if the current situation with China does not resolve in favor of the United States, you can kiss a lot of your future wealth goodbye, as manufacturing and trade will migrate to China even more than we have already seen. The United States economy will drift downward, and the United States will continue its transformation into a financialized nation, displaying more of what we have been seeing in the past 30 years, the wealth and asset rich becoming richer, and the middle class sinking into a proletariat bitterness. Poverty, that is. So, that's what he has to say. Well, I think about the future a lot, and there are so many possibilities of what could go on. The future could hold a lot. And what do we nourish and what do we starve? Just like a farmer has seeds to plant, to nourish, or to pull out the plants of. We do that too. And a part of what we must always do is remember to support the work of God's kingdom, because that spiritual seed is so very important. It is essential. So strive to do God's will with your time, with your money, and with evangelism. And that's all a part of the Bible. Life in the Bible has lots of lessons for us to learn. So, like I always say, read the Bible. It's a good book. Dwell on the things which are lovely and good, yes, but also recognize that there are problems in the world, and we can have an element of preparedness. That's in the Bible too. Remember that we have an enemy that wishes to steal from us, to kill us and destroy us. And he uses lies and deception to do it all. Lies and deception. Somehow we have to be aware and see through all the things that are matters right in front of us. Too often we make our decisions and based on, well, a feeling we have instead of the information that we have. So we believe a lie. That's something that goes on way too often. We believe that lie, it's a deception. And doesn't the Bible tell us, be not deceived? Yep. We do search for the truth, God's truth, and the factual truth around us. It's something we do, and the people in power around us have a way of hiding things so that they can manipulate the population into doing what they want. That has been going on forever. And, well, in my little experience, I think of every war that we've entered into in the last 100 years has been based on a lie. I know my grandfather told me about World War I. My dad told me about World War II. And my brother-in-law, who was a Marine, told me about the Vietnam War. Each of these people were strong patriots who supported the United States. And they know something about how those wars started. There were lies going on. Well, even today we see lies. I mean, just look at a few years ago, there was the 9/11 airplane attacks on the two twin World Trade Towers. Those two towers impossibly collapsed straight down with hundreds of tons of steel and concrete and office furnishings. They simply were turned into dust. They didn't fall as whole pieces. They fell as dust. And then there was the third building that collapsed in the same way. It was not hit by an airplane, but that building 7, it was a 49-story building that also collapsed and turned into dust. How could it have happened? Even the steel beams were turned into dust. Oh, there were some of the major steel beams at the bottom that were left whole, but so much of those buildings was turned into dust. I know there was an airline stewardess who wrote a book about just how impossible some of the events on those airplanes were, like the cell phone calls that were impossible at that time. The book was 9/11 Methodical Deception by Rebecca Roth. It's, you know, there's so much deceit in the world, so many lies, and we have a chance to examine what is in front of us and search out the truth and not believe a lie. We're instructed to do that. And so we have to use our discernment to see what happens in these days, if anything impossible is happening. And that's a part of the future too, because we have to do the impossible and think about what is happening in the future. What could come our way? And what kind of an emergency event could happen to us, either locally or nationally or just whatever it is. And so I think about those emergency supplies and having some on hand. It's the water or water filter, it's food, it's warmth, and other supplies as well. Of course, it's community. So we don't know that there's going to be a time frame to what we understand for the unraveling of things. It's just as likely that it's going to wait until after the next presidential election. That's over a year away. Or, well, it's just all unknown. We don't know the timing, but we know the events because they're told in the Bible, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. All talk about the same things: earthquakes, famines, war, rumors of war, and pestilence. So what do we do to get ready? Well, we do something. We get some supplies together. And I know I prefer grains because they are economical and they hold their nutritiousness. And as long as they're in their whole grain form. So along with your grains, you do need a wheat grinder, a manual wheat grinder. Well, there's lots of choices, and we all make choices that are ever so individual. That's what we do. And then as a community, we can help each other. Remember to think in those terms of being a community so that you can help people, and people can help you. That's just the way community works. As if there is a serious situation, you may well want to form a community group, and you'll have principles that will go on in that group, and you'll have to have laws and compassion and a group leader and probably a guidance document. That document can be the Constitution, it can be the Bible, and it can be, well, those are good fundamentals, I'd say. But all those things in your community, you'll want to think about what the physical needs, the human needs, and the spiritual needs are of any community. That gets to the point of having an advanced understanding or examination of what could be, what kind of difficulties we would be facing. Because if you have an idea of what the difficulties are, you have an idea of what steps to take to overcome the difficulties. So look at the possibilities. It's not the same as knowing they're going to happen, but it's having an examination of what the possibilities are so that you can be prepared. Because there's lots of reasonable people that are preparing, from just ordinary people to the very elite. And of course, our government always prepares for emergencies, for the just in case. Yep. So you can find it reasonable to have some emergency provisions too. Besides that, there was the 2018. At the end of it, there was the Presidential National Infrastructure Advisory Council. And they were concerned with natural disasters and cyber threats that would affect life in the United States. That report was done in conjunction with FEMA and the Department of Homeland Security. The report said that every citizen ought to be prepared to live without electricity and without a working infrastructure for an extended period of time. It didn't say how long. It could be months, but it also said it could be years. It's just a question. And so I would ask another one. Can you get through 6 months without electricity and with hardly any food? It's a question. So what would you have to do? Just have a what-if list. What if you wanted to have that as a goal? What would you need to do? Write it down so you can examine it and think about it. I'm not saying that 6 months is the answer. If you're a long-term person like that, it certainly would be a year. But our government talks about having 3 days of food and water for an emergency. That's not going to get very far. So everybody has their own ideas, and I don't know what to tell you to think about. But lots of people have lots of ideas and lots of lists, and I do too. So you can write to me for my preparedness list. It's just a bunch of ideas, and you get to pick out the ones that suit you. You can find ideas from other businesses or government agencies. A lot of people have them. You can get mine by writing to me at John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And listen to any broadcast of Christ Today by going to www.christtoday.org. That's all lowercase, no spaces. And thank you for listening to Christ Today. Until next week, may you walk with God, and may God walk with you. Holy Spirit, burn inside.